Good morning and welcome everyone. It is lovely to be back here with you. I think this is my first time back after the sort of busyness of Christmas and New Year. If I haven't seen you yet, Happy New Year. It's great to see you all. Just before we begin, a couple of quick notices. The first is to say, please do remember Reverend Graham in your prayers. He has managed to put his knee out. He says that people in St. Margaret's will be well used to this having happened, but it's his other knee, and so he's currently sort of waiting to see how that's going to resolve. So if we could pray for him that that will go swiftly and easily, hopefully without the need of an operation, that would be wonderful. The other notice is just to let you know that as we're now coming into the end of this sort of... You have different years, don't you? You have the liturgical year beginning in Advent and the run-up to Christmas. You have the calendar year beginning in January, round through to December. But then you have this other church year where you have the annual general meeting roughly around Easter and everything that follows. And when we get to the next annual meeting, our dear church warden, Catherine Grudgings, has announced that she's going to be stepping down. And so if you... are aware of anyone that might like to step into her wonderful shoes to be church warden, or if you feel a tingling of a calling yourself, please do reflect on that and perhaps have a word with me at some point or with David Winder. I promise it's not as scary or onerous as it sounds, but it is something that we would greatly benefit from having someone who would be able to work with David to help us do all of the things that we are doing. I think that's it for notices, so let us stand as we remember that we are here in the presence of God. We meet in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let's say a prayer for our Tiger Club before they head out to their activities. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Tiger Club and we thank you for all that they shall do this morning. We pray that in their activities, your Holy Spirit will be close to them, speaking to them in their hearts and minds and reassuring them of your love for them. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. With that, we sing our first hymn, which... it's not on the, it's number 362. I think it's Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ, the light of the world, has come to dispel the darkness of our hearts. Let us turn to the light and confess our sins. God, our Father, you sent your Son, full of grace and truth. Forgive our failure to receive him. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, our Saviour, you were born in poverty and laid in a manger. Forgive our greed and rejection of your ways. Lord, have mercy. Spirit of love, your servant Mary responded joyfully to your call. Forgive the hardness of our hearts. Lord, have mercy. May the God who loves the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We remain seated for our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Nehemiah, chapter 8. Beginning to read at verse 1. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all those who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate, and the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book, and the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord and the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces on the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink and send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us stand and sing our next hymn, number 557, Thou Whose Almighty Word.
Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? It's unfortunate that Graham has put his knee out, partly because it means you don't get to have the full experience that I was tempted to give you this morning, because I am now heading on to the 11 o'clock, which means we don't have 4 or 5 hours to replicate what happened in Nehemiah, where they gathered in the middle of the early part of the morning and listened to the whole of the law until after lunch. And it's one of those things where when you hear it, you're like, wow, that's a long time to be sat there or stood there or kneeling there. However they were, they stood and let those different things going on. It's a long time to have to listen to something being said. And yet on the flip side, it's not that long at all to hear everything that they had that God had said to them. It's interesting, isn't it? If you were to come to a service and be told there's a 4-hour sermon, you might be filled with a sense of trepidation. But if you were told that the answer to everything that's going wrong in your life can be explained in just 4 hours, you might be quite glad to go and spend a morning. And it's interesting because all of this is happening in the context of the rebuilding of Jerusalem under the guidance of Ezra. And whilst they're in that process, they're rejuvenating the temple, they're clearing up rubble, they're building the wall, and someone finds behind the altar in a small room off to one side, in a big pile of boxes, this book. And they take it out and they go, "Oh, I wonder what this is." And they're reading through it and they discover promises of God. It says, "I will be their God and they will be my people, if they will but hear my voice and do as I have commanded." It says later on, "Behold, I hold before you blessings and curses, life and death. Move in my ways, or find the natural consequences of sin." And they were shaking and trembling as they read this, for they realized that this is an important message that had not been shared with the people since before they had gone into captivity and exile. This is a message that even before the exile, people had kind of forgotten. They had abandoned the temple in the middle of God's holy town of Jerusalem for the high places and the surrounding hills. High places where you make sacrifices of incense, sacrifices of animals, sacrifices of children. High places where you had the assurance that you were doing something great and profound. where you are taking destiny into your own hands and interceding with the gods that they might empower you and support you in whatever was going on. High places which were about as far away from the temple as it could be. For in the temple you had to have priests. You could not go and sacrifice something yourself directly. You brought your offering in, and then the priests and the assistants and the servants helped with the processing. They separated it out, and they did things on your behalf for you. That was the way that things had been set up. But that way had slowly been forgotten, and it had been compounded by king after king, who did as he saw fit in his own eyes. That would bring about more wealth, more ambition, and for many of them, more wives. And so the favor of God seems to disappear from his people. But it's not so much that God turned his back on his people, but was keeping the covenant promises going. But the problem with covenant promises, with good consequences and bad, is that if you don't embrace the good, you receive the bad. And so these people have been wandering and figuring out, what do we do? They had a cultural memory that they were important to God. And so they wanted to rebuild Jerusalem. Let's get back to what we used to be like. And then this book comes out. And it goes to the king. And it comes out and Ezra builds a wooden platform specifically that all can see him. And he reads it in their presence. And this is a powerful experience, something that we perhaps take for granted. It's one of those things that we can see more easily in other parts of the world. There is a famous video of Chinese people in an underground church receiving a box full of Bibles written in Mandarin. This orderly, quiet gathering that is trying to make sure that they're not causing too much of a disturbance or a scene for fear that other people might rat them out, sees this box come into the room, and they open it, and someone says, it's a Bible. And suddenly this quiet room full of decorum is anything but. It's chaos as people are gathering around and they're reaching in, passing Bibles out, and there's literally people grabbing a Bible in their own language and walking off and holding it crying, knowing that they can read the words of God for themselves. They don't have to just depend on what someone else has said, that someone has passed along or on rumors. They can open it up and find the words of God. It's interesting to think, as I was at Holy Trinity earlier, that the church at Holy Trinity is older than the Bible has been in English. Isn't that an interesting thing to think? The reality that we can pick up our Bibles and read even this reading about Nehemiah and the others with Ezra is astounding. And their reaction initially was to be overwhelmed. They were afraid because they had heard the law and all of these commandments that they had not been keeping because they didn't know that if they did them, they would be blessed. And then they have something very important. There's a group of about a dozen of them that come out and go to the people in groups and they explain to them the sense of the passage, much as I, in my own way, am trying to do for you this morning. Explaining the sense that it's not a thing of fear, but a thing of joy. The commandments that God gives are good for us. And sometimes we can rally against that. We can feel like the commandments are there to get in the way of having fun. Or if only I didn't have to do the right thing or be a good person in this situation, I could get away with that. Or I could place that bet, or I could cut that corner, or I could receive that benefit. But actually, when we break it down, when we look at laws about how we treat one another, we realize that it is Deuteronomy that says, love your neighbor as yourself. We realize that it's Leviticus that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. Jesus isn't just plucking this out of thin air when he uses that as a summary of the law. He is quoting the law itself. The Ten Commandments: honor the Lord your God, honor and respect your parents, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not have false witness against your neighbor, and do not covet the things that they have. These laws, when we think about them, are actually the basics of decent human society. Everything that we like about living in a Christian culture with Judeo-Christian ethics comes from this law. And when this is being explained to them, the people celebrate. They say this is a day of feasting and rejoicing. They eat the best parts of the meat, they drink the best wine, and they share it with everyone, especially those that have none. And it ends with these beautiful words: they rejoiced greatly, for they understood the words of God. And then we have Jesus standing in a synagogue, reading from the scroll of Isaiah, chapter 61. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, sight to the blind, the freedom to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, in and of itself, this is a wonderful scene. How often do you get the Word of God reading the words of God in a service? That is amazing. But even more spectacular is the words he says afterwards: today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Wow. Can you imagine having Jesus stand in front of you and say, this is about me? That must have been quite a mind-boggling thing to experience. And at first they think, well, that sounds kind of good. But actually, if you continue on with the reading, he explains that in Elijah's time, Elijah raised one person. In Elisha's time, he healed one leper. In my time, look at what I'm doing. I'm healing the sick. I'm giving sight to the blind. Those who are lame are now walking. Look at what's happening. And that they did not like. How dare this upstart man that they had known from his childhood say that he is greater than two of the greatest prophets that have ever lived? How dare he say that the scriptures are talking about him? What is this about? And if you keep on reading, you see that they ushered him out of the synagogue and they drove him up to the top of the hill to where there was a cliff, ready to throw him off that they might kill him. It's only by the grace of God that Jesus is able to walk through the crowd as if they were not there and go on his way. And so we have two very different reactions to hearing the word of God. One, we have a group of people who are rejoicing because they understand that God is saying to them, I will be your God and you will be my people and I will bless you if you will but walk in my way. Then you have another group of people where they hear God say, I am here to do God's work. And they say, no, get away. But it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus quotes from Isaiah 61. Because Isaiah 61, as we all know, comes after Isaiah 50, 51, 52, 53. These are chapters where we find the suffering servant passages. These are those moments in Isaiah which seem to foretell the Messiah who will be beaten, he will be mocked, he will be oppressed. And by his wounds we shall be healed, by his stripes we shall be forgiven, and he shall redeem us from all our iniquities and diseases. And then it goes on to say, I have been anointed by the Lord. The one whom the Lord anoints to bring about his favor is the one whom he strikes and afflicts. The one whom brings about God's favour, eternal life and blessing is the one who goes to the cross. The one who has nails driven through his hands and feet, who has been whipped and scourged, who stands and hangs in front of a crowd of people saying, "If you really are God, let yourself down from there. If you really were greater than Elijah, set yourself free." And on that cross, he makes, by his blood, an atoning sacrifice far greater than any that had ever happened in the temple, far more efficacious than any hopes that people had in the high places. But like those people in the high places, we have a sacrifice that is incredibly meaningful. No longer do we have a sacrifice of an ox or a sheep or a turtle dove. But like those who do what God despises, God takes that sacrifice of a child and does it himself, giving up for the world his only son, that which is most precious to him in all existence, and crucifies it, that he might receive the fullness of the wrath of God and the consequence of sin, that in the death of Jesus, death truly happens. There is no greater death than the death which is upon the cross. And through this moment of affliction, we find this moment of anointing. For rising from the dead 3 days later, Jesus is a living promise of God's love and forgiveness, a living testimony to what God has done for us, that we might be his people and he might be our God. And so it's striking that Jesus quotes these words, knowing what will happen to him. And it's striking that we can hear all these words and take them for granted. So I encourage you this day, reflect on the ability to read the Word of God. A few weeks ago, I wrote an email in the newsletter talking about different Bible reading plans. Since then, someone gave me a bit of advice that I think is great and I share with you. If you want to read the Word of God and to engage with your Bible, don't make it a duty. Don't make it an obligation. Make it a hobby. We have the luxury and opportunity to read the Word of God and to find out the riches of his love for us. So let us not be like those who are in the synagogue with Jesus that wanted him to die. But let us be like those who have heard something very precious. And leave this place today with our hearts on fire, knowing that no matter what is going on in our lives, God's love is greater. Our hearts on fire because we have understood the words of God. That he knows you. And he loves you. And if you walk with him as your God and you as his child, he will delight in blessing you in life unending. So let us rejoice greatly for the word of God. Amen. Having heard the word of God and understood all that Jesus has done for us, let us stand and confess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Would you please be seated as we come to a time of prayer. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Lord, you are indeed a great God, a God who has created all things that exist, a God who knows the fullness of the world and all that is contained therein, a God who watches over nations and understands the reality of conflicts, of politics, of economies, of supplies, of food and famine. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of provision, and we ask that you will provide enough food for those who have lack. We ask that you will bring about peace where there is war, and we ask that you will bring about love where there is hatred. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, you are a great God. You have spoken to your people and given them a gospel that truly is good news. We thank you for your church who proclaims this gospel in season and out of season, reaching out to all those who are struggling, suffering, poor and afflicted, that they may know that you love them, if they will but repent and follow you. We pray for the Church of England at this time, asking that you will bless her in her ministry. And we ask that you will be present with our churches of Holy Trinity and St. Margaret's, that we might be a blessing to the communities around us in Penn and Tyler's Green. We pray, Lord, that people may not just hear your word, but may understand it. An understanding come to rejoice in all that you have done for us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you are a great God, and yet you know and care about us each by name. You may know the furthest reaches of the stars, but you know the innermost corners of our hearts. We pray for all those whom are on our hearts at this time, those whom we love, those whom we are concerned for, those who are in need, who are struggling, and need your presence. We pray, Lord, for ourselves. You'll help us to forgive ourselves, to heal from grief, from trauma, that you will soothe our anxieties around money and our health, and that you will strengthen us to have hope and confidence in you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you are a great God, and so we hold before you in the quietness of our hearts those other prayer requests which we wish to bring before you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you please stand? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Our next hymn is number 150, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Word made flesh, life of the world, in your incarnation you embraced our poverty. By your Spirit may we share in your riches. Amen. Would you please be seated? The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. All glory and honour be yours always and everywhere. Almighty Creator, ever living God, we give you thanks and praise for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who, for the love of our fallen race, humbled himself and was born of a Virgin Mary, by the power of your Spirit, and lived as one among us. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused his light to shine in our hearts, to give knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. In him we see our God made visible, and so are caught up in the love of the God we cannot see. Therefore, with all the angels of heaven, we lift our voices to proclaim the glory of your name and sing our joyful hymn of praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so we and the company of all the saints may praise and glorify you forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, now and forever, Almighty Father. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. The blood of Christ. Almighty Father, whose Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, may your people, illuminated by your word and sacraments, shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth, as he is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit loves give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so before we come to our final hymn, it's always good to check in with those that have been doing other activities and things rather than listening to a four-hour sermon. You might not believe it, but we had a four-hour sermon in the time that you were gone. What have you been up to? What have we got?
Okay, so we were learning about the fact that the body of Christ, you need like everything to work, and it means that like everybody is part of the church, like they all need to be here for it to work.
So we did activities, and we also did word searches with parts of the body.
That's brilliant. So this is focusing on the other reading that we had. Everybody has a part to play in being our church. And it's fantastic that Beth and everyone else is here with us for that. So let's give them a round of applause. And we just want to say a big thank you for all that you do, and we're really glad that you're here with us, and we'll look forward to seeing you over there for tea and coffee in a little bit. As indeed, I'm sure everyone's looking forward to heading over for tea and coffee in a little bit, but we're just going to stand and sing our final hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And so as we prepare to head out into the world, may we be encouraged by what we have reflected upon, by what we have sung, and by what we have come to understand of God. For those who heard and understood the words of God rejoiced greatly. The Lord is a great God. He has spoken that we might hear and understand. May he keep our hearts and minds in that knowledge of his love and understanding, and the knowledge of his Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be upon you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.